Book of Psalm chapter 51. It said, for the choir director, a psalm of David, when Nathan the prophet came to him after he had gone into Bathsheba. Now the psalm starts thus. It said, be gracious to me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the greatness of thy compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee only I have sinned, and done what is evil in thy sight, so that thou art justified when thou dost speak, and blameless when thou dost judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, thou dost desire truth in the innermost being, and in the hidden part thou wilt make me know wisdom. Purify me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness. He said, let the bones which thou hast broken rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. 16. He said, for thou dost not delight in sacrifice, otherwise I would give it. Thou art not pleased with burnt offering. And then he said in verse 17, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Now, let me lay one emphasis there. He said, behold, verse 6, thou dost desire truth in the innermost being. Thou dost desire truth in the innermost being. That's what I'm going to talk about again. We started talking about that one last time. Let's just continue on it. Now, I've read this one again. It's a continuation of what we have been discussing. I wanted to switch the title today to something else, but maybe I'll leave that one till next week. Let me just make some concluding statements about this. Now, last time I explained a number of principles. So one of the things we have said before is the fact that before God can do something new in our lives, the first thing he must do is to bring forth a new heart to us. That is, a new set of people. A new generation of people is required before we can enter into God's promised land. That is, before God could take the children of Israel into the promised land, first thing he did was to change their hearts, change the kind of people that they were. Now, those people that left Egypt were not able to participate in God's design for that. So he had no choice but to remove them totally and bring forth a new generation that had a different set of ideas, whose hearts were different from those that left Egypt. Because as long as Egypt is found in the heart of people, they will not be able to take the promised land. It's very important we understand that. Therefore, and we've talked about this when we're talking about the path of progress in the life of the Christian. We also said things about it when we're talking about walking in divine authority. That is, what's most important is that God reforms our hearts into a particular state. That what we experience outwardly is automatic once the heart is in a particular state. And let me just say this again. You know, I remember once I was talking with somebody, and I was saying that if God finds enough righteous people in Nigeria, you know, something led to it. And the lady looked at me, I still remember very well, that Abba, you're saying that God can't find 50 people in the whole of Nigeria. And if I say this, it's surprising, yes, possible. I'm not saying, but I just want to tell you that it's possible. There was a time God looked, he said, there is none righteous, no, not one. I said that on radio. That was not a theological statement. It was a matter of fact. He had counted, gone from one place to the other, and he could not find righteous people. The Lord came down and went into Sodom and Gomorrah. He could not find 10 righteous people. Very, very possible. Very possible. I'm trying to bring out something. So we must understand something there, that God actually needs. That's the word though. He does what? Needs you and me to become something so he can pour forth a blessing. You see, no matter how much we pray, if we are not able to receive the blessing, it doesn't come. Are you getting what I'm saying? It's so important, no matter how much we pray, if we are not able in ourselves to receive the blessing does not come. It's so crucial we get that point. It's not just about praying that God, give me a blessing. In fact, Jesus, when he was teaching disciples to pray, he said, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now, I said that last time, that what he was saying is that make sure, help us so that we are not the one that causes trouble. Because once that is eliminated, blessings flow automatically. If you go and read Isaiah chapter 40, which I've read several times, all right? In that Isaiah chapter 40, he said, just make a way. The glory of God will automatically be revealed. It's not a matter of begging. It's not a matter of pressure. is a matter of what? Preparedness. Once the people are prepared, God automatically flows with his blessing. A number of points I made last week, I just like to refer to them again. I remember something I said very important. I said the fact that somebody has supposedly given his or her life to Christ, the fact that you were in church, you made an altar call, the fact that you got up one day and said, from now on, I'm not going to walk the way of the world anymore, I'm going to start walking in the way of the Lord Jesus Christ, does not automatically mean you now have a pure heart. That what we have to go through is a process of what? Purification. Is it Simon or Simeon? Now, which one was his correct name again? Anyway, the fellow in the book of Acts, Zostra, who the Bible said believed when he heard what Philip was preaching and saw the signs that he was demonstrating. But afterwards, what did he do? He brought out money and he wanted to buy the gift of God. And let me say it again. I was with a friend. My wife and I went for a couple's meeting. So we took one of our friends who was in town with us. And after the meeting, we talked for a very long time. We're analyzing things that were going on in the body of Christ. And it was so painful seeing the kind of thing that the church of God has degenerated to. Let me say this to you again. I say this as a way of correcting children of God. Kenneth Hagin said God appeared to him. The Lord Jesus appeared to him in a vision and told him something and repeated it. This was after over an hour of discussing about his ministry and everything. Before he left, this was a real physical vision. Before he left, he said, there are two things I want to warn you about concerning this work I have given you. He's saying, whatever happens, make sure you give all the glory to me. That's one. Then number two, he said, be careful about money. Then he repeated it. He said, be careful about money. I won't tell the story beyond that. If you want, go and read the book, I Believe in Visions. And many of his books, you'll see this story in there. He said, be careful about money. He repeated it to him. Be careful about money. It's amazing we go around these days. People are no longer careful about money. If anything, they glory in the ideas of prosperity and covetousness. He said, be careful about money. Simon didn't understand that. He was a baby Christian, I said last time. But I'm just bringing that issue out to help us understand that the man gave his life to Christ didn't mean he automatically had a pure heart. In fact, Peter pointed out to him that you are still in the gall of bitterness and you are in the seat of iniquity. This is a man who had just believed. The fact that somebody has supposedly given his life to Christ does not automatically give him a pure heart. Are you getting my point? We emphasize that. But that what one needs to go through is a purification of the heart, is a process that every believer must go through in his or her life. And that is actually the main job that God has given you and God has given me. I explained last time that God could have stopped David by many methods. And we said, every day, God stops us from causing trouble. Yes, he does. Every day, there are things you could do wrong. All right? And that's why we'll talk about the principle of prayer, the principle of intercession. He that shows mercy will himself obtain mercy. Every day you go out, God's grace sustains you. It withholds you from causing trouble. Jesus taught us to pray like that. Deliver us from evil. I said last time that what he meant was not that, God, please don't let evil come upon us, but do not let us be the one to cause trouble. That's the meaning of that prayer. Are you getting my point? So God did not deliver David from evil. Why? That particular day. I said the simple reason is because David was wrongly confident in himself. He thought that his heart was pure. So that when he heard about a man who stole a goat, he was so enraged about the stealing of goats. Meanwhile, he was stealing people. Are you getting my point? But he didn't know. Let me tell you something. Let me say something to you again. That's why we go through all of these things. These things were recorded for our learning. You don't know the kind of wrongness that's inside your heart until God demonstrates it to you. Do you get my point? Look, my wife told me the other day that she went somewhere for a women's meeting. One woman was preaching. And she was talking about how to handle your husband with wisdom. Can I remember the story properly, sir? Anyway, because let me summarize it. You handle your husband with wisdom by using deception. That was what she preached. That she herself and her husband used to put money together. Then she saw that the husband was just using the money for his family. That's his own, where the family came out of. There are problems. So how God, then one day, she just told the man that, no, in their office, they are supposed to change accounts. So she gently changed her account and they stopped paying the money into the joint account. So she now had control of her money. Sisters, you have to be wise. I said, Jesus is Lord. This woman was preaching and was declaring it boldly. Now, you know why she was confident to do that? She didn't realize it was wrong. This was in an open space. If she knew, in fact, that day,
maybe they didn't allow people to ask questions or stuff like that. I wanted to say, please, excuse me, madam. This one you have said today, are you leading us in the way of righteousness or the way of wickedness? Because you can't make peace by using deception. It doesn't make sense. That is, something must be wrong with your spiritual celebration to think that that might make sense. You can't make peace by using deception. It doesn't work. Well, I'm trying to say something today. I've learned this woman doesn't know what she didn't know what she was doing was not right. Are you getting my point? That is, see, you can have a wrong heart. That's what I'm trying to emphasize. And you don't know the heart is wrong. The fact that you are a Christian does not guarantee that you have a right heart. Simon had believed, yet his heart was still a bitter heart. His heart was still a heart of iniquity. We read that last week. Are you getting my point? So what we need, that's what I want to try around this one, so we can go into the next thing. Now, Simon didn't know that until he woke up one day. Now, listen to this, because I said there are different ways by which God corrects you, by which God shows to you what is inside your heart. The first thing that happened to him was that he exposed his mouth, his heart, by talking with his mouth. The Bible says a fool, when he keeps silent, is considered wise. Even a fool, when he doesn't say anything, you think he's wise. What happened to Simon? He thought he was okay, but he simply exposed himself by offering to Peter money so that one might lay hands on him. What is making me sad is that if all he needed to do was to come to today's Nigeria and America, and they would have given him the anointing, it's not a problem. You give the offering, somebody will lay hands on you and say, take it and go. Of course, the guy will turn it to business. Then he too will tell in other people and then they will give him money. You are getting the point I'm making. Now, but then he not knowing, no, I said that the way I see it is that the guy was a good man. That is, he had the seed of God in him. He had not just grown yet. He had walked in the way of the world for a long time, and he was beginning his walk with God. So that's what God was doing for him. First thing he did was to expose that kind of iniquity that was inside his heart. Are you getting me? And he just went and exposed himself to Peter, and Peter rebuked him sharply. And the next thing he did was to ask Peter to pray for him. That, I said, is the heart of David. David, look, once he finished doing his act, God now showed to him that what he had done is wrong. Of course, he knew that actually, but then he showed him that I'm watching and I have just this attitude, and it is a wrong attitude. I said there are different ways by which God demonstrates things to us. I'm using Simon as an example. Number one is that he gives you correction, instruction. You talk to people. Now, let me tell you this. If you can correct people, do it very nicely and gently, but try and do it. When you say what is right, you correct people concerning that which is right, like what they have in their heart that's wrong, and then as you tell them that which is right. Even though they don't agree instantly, you have left a seed there, a reference point. One day, issues will come up and they will refer to it. Another person one day will correct the person, all right? And then that's how the Holy Spirit works. I'm trying to bring out something here, that the first way by which God corrects people, all right, is just by words simply. You expose your, ignorance somewhere, and somebody corrects you with knowledge. Now, it's not every time you quickly accept it. And if you just quickly accept what everybody says, then you are like to be a gullible person. Are you getting what I mean? But then the Holy Spirit, I talked about the seed of God. Are you getting me? The seed of God, this is how it works. Before somebody talks to you, sometimes people want to talk about how do I hear the voice of the Holy Spirit? I don't think you can practice it. People have tried to make it look as if you just sit down one day and pray and pray and pray and pray, and then suddenly you announce, okay, this is the voice of the Holy Spirit, and that is the voice of evil spirit. No. I don't really think anybody can teach anybody. I think that with time, all right, we will each learn what is peculiar to our situations. Are you getting what I'm saying? All right? Samuel didn't learn how to hear God. God shouted in his ears. He doesn't know how to identify which one was God. Do you get my point? And then somebody, after I went to this guy several times, the guy just perceived that it must be the Lord talking. So that's okay. Give him this kind of response. That's the kind of teaching you can help people with. I'm bringing out something. If you have a wrong attitude in the heart, one of the things that happens is that the Holy Spirit stirs up something inside you. And if you don't have enough understanding yet, you cannot form it into words. You cannot form it into ideas. Just know that there is something wrong somewhere. You can't place your hand on it. You want to do a business. Anytime you want to do it, something inside you just feels like this is not the proper thing to do. But you don't know the proper thing to do. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yes, you don't know the proper thing to do. Then one day, If you have somebody nicer than me, you know what I mean? You get what I mean? Sometimes people are telling me what is wrong and I don't correct them. If you are younger than me, I don't waste time. All right? But usually when it comes to my friends, my mates, that's when I have a problem. It's not as if I want to deceive them. Just I don't know how to just tell them what you are saying is not correct. Is that okay? Sometimes I try to do it subtly, but I've been praying. My wife is praying along with me also so that I'll become bolder and more forceful, and maybe I'll lose more friends, but at least I can come and pray to you that now I do it. Do you follow what I'm saying? But anyway, so you have the ideas in your heart, and then one day, as you're talking, all right, a friend of yours who's bolder than Pastor Banky is, or maybe you actually come to teaching, or you hear me teach on radio, you hear one preacher, or you buy a book, and the person just says it clearly to you that this is not the right thing to do. One of the reasons why you agree quickly, let me tell you, is that it suddenly forms the nudging inside your heart into correct ideas. That is like into clear pictures. Do you get what I'm saying? That is, you wanted to do something, maybe it's a business or a relationship or one thing or the other. It's not just clear, but you just feel uncomfortable. Then somebody now just explains. Sometimes they don't even know they are talking to you. Are you getting my point? And then the moment the fellow says it, it just answers all the questions that has been inside your heart. And that's, you know that what you are doing is not correct. You've taken instruction. Do you get the point I'm making? What's happened is the seed of God inside you is directing your new course in life. That's what I'm explaining. Number one way God corrects people is that one. Simple. You have a nudging in your heart. You go somewhere, you hear a word. David knew what he was doing was not correct. But it was driven home when Nathan spoke to him. Are you getting the point I'm making? Simon did not even know. But the moment a prophet, a senior man of God, let me use that expression, spoke to him, instantly he took correction. One of the most important characteristics you must have in life is to be teachable. The fact that you know something doesn't mean it's right. Or you think you know something. Do you get what I'm saying? No, there are prayers, people pray all night for all kinds of reasons. But I haven't read through the Psalms. A lot of the prayers are directed at self. Like David read, we read from the Psalm 51 here. He was talking about himself. Be gracious to me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. Wash me thoroughly from iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. And all of that. What I'm trying to bring out here is this. One of the prayers Christians must learn to pray. Remember that Psalm 32? That was Psalm 32. We'll go back there in a moment. One of the most important prayers Christians must learn to pray is about themselves. And what I mean is this. Like, sometimes when I'm talking with my wife, I'll tell her that, look, this is what maybe we're analyzing the situation. I say, maybe I'm wrong. But as far as I understand it right now, this is the correct idea here. This is the correct mindset. I'll now say, God, in case I am wrong, please correct me gently. Let somebody speak to me and explain to me that I am wrong. Don't correct me with a harsh hand. You know why I'm saying that? Because when you don't hear it quietly, that is the next level. I'm serious. Let's quickly go to the book of Job. We're talking about this purification of heart thing. It's very important. Job chapter 33. I say all of that by saying something. Why did God not prevent David from causing the problem he caused to himself when he took Bathsheba and then killed her husband and then finally married the woman? I said it was because he didn't realize the kind of heart that he had. And he was feeling too good with himself. That's the summary of it. And God needed to demonstrate to him that he still had the seed of iniquity inside him. And he had to be weeded away. Are you getting the point? Remember what we said then? That when we were reading the story from Matthew chapter 13 about the parable of the sower. The sower went forth to sow. And the word is sown in hearts. But there are hearts that the word grows deep into. That it sinks its root. But when it was time to grow outward and bear fruit, it would discover that there are thorns in there. And that those thorns were the things that choked the word from producing results. That he said, this I have found out, that God made men upright, but they sought out many devices. Are you getting my point? So when we're talking about purification of heart, is that eradication of the thorns that are inside the heart. Last time I explained that you can't do it yourself. I said the power of the believer is what? The power of what? Prayer. Confession. In Psalm 32, he said, this is how the godly should pray. They should confess their sins to God. I explained that sin does not mean that I steal I commit adultery, I lie, I cheat, I give 10% kick front, and I accept 10% kick back. That's not what sin means. What does sin mean? It means everything I do which is short of the standard of God. That is what sin is. There are things that are morally wrong in the society, so we call them sin. But there are things that are morally correct, but as far as God is concerned, it's iniquity. Are you getting my point? Let me mean, Uzzah touched the ark, and it was instant judgment. There's a message we have on that titled The Death of Uzzah. Please, everybody listen to that message, because one major anger God has with people is not that they sin. But what is it? That they refuse correction. When Samuel went to Saul, he said, "Welcome back from battle." That guy said, "Thank you, sir. We try. We have done everything that you said." Samuel said, "What about this bleating of sheep?" He said, we did everything. The sheep. Just the men who brought it for sacrifice. Well, we didn't kill the king, but what's the point? Everybody's dead. He's now a people-less king. He's an effectively dead king anyway. He said, "But you haven't done what we say you should do." He said, "I have done everything you say you should do." He said, "Now hear the word of God. I brought you up and made you king." I'm summarizing everything. He said, "But because you have rejected the word of the Lord, I also rejected you from being king," right? I said something last time that it wasn't because he rejected. Now, you can look at it like that, but I think this is a deeper truth. It wasn't just that he rejected the commandment that God gave him to go and finish them in Amalek. No, it was that now I am correcting you and you are rejecting the correction of God. Because David also sinned. And as soon as he was corrected, he said, "I have sinned." And that guy said, "Good, you are forgiven." When Samuel said, "Because you have rejected the word of God, he has also rejected you from being king. Take it from me." It wasn't that he rejected obeying God's word when he went to Amalek. It was that now we are correcting you, that you did it wrongly. You are still rejecting correction. Listen, that is what is terrible with God. You've done it wrong. What's the big deal? He said, David said like this, he's mindful that we are but flesh. Do you get what I'm saying? He said what? He's mindful that we are but flesh. The problem is that when I have now demonstrated your fleshliness to you, do you get what I'm saying? If David had not killed Uriah, he would never have entered into any trouble. You know why God judged him harshly? Because he took time to devise evil to cover his iniquity. That's why he was judged harshly. He went and took another man's wife. It's bad. Nobody, please get my point. Nobody is saying, what's the big deal? After all, he's only a man's wife. That's a very wicked sin. Do you get what I'm saying? It's a very wicked sin. But what his judgment was for was not just that. It was that after that, he took time, I explained about 2 weeks ago, to plan it. He had days of meditation. And one of the things that God despises is the heart that devises evil. This guy took time to devise evil and then killed Uriah. That was why even after they said, "We are forgiving you," he was still severely punished. It was because he deliberately tried to cover. No, go back there. Psalm 32. He said, "How blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. How blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit." Now, this is the blessing of, this is a blessedness, or this is a kind of man that is blessed. Now, he's not describing how a man gets to that position of blessing. "When I kept silent about my sin, my body wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night, thy hand was heavy upon me." Please, remember, I like reading it from a New Living Translation or Good News. Let me just switch over there. He said, verse 3, "When I refused to confess my sin, I was weak and miserable, and I groaned all day long. Day and night, your hand of discipline was heavy on me. My strength evaporated like water in the summer heat." Verse 5 says, "Finally, I confessed all my sins to you and stopped trying to hide them. I said to myself, I will confess my rebellion to the Lord." He said, "When I did that, you forgave me and all my guilt is gone." Verse 6 says, "Therefore, let all the godly confess their rebellion to you while there is time, that they may not drown in the flood waters of judgment." Let me just stop it there. Are you getting the point here? I said that what I was, okay, I swung into that again, trying to review what we said last time. that the Christian can't change. Listen, nobody can change himself. Whether you're a Christian or a Muslim or a pagan, it's the same thing. You don't have the power to change yourself. New Year resolution is a joke. Listen, all of you, that's why you break it all the time. I don't believe in New Year anything. I don't. What's the big deal? You know what I mean? That New Year can be tomorrow. Nobody has the strength to change himself. Nobody. Whether you're a Christian, Muslim, or a pagan, you don't. And you punish a man does not mean that he will change. Are you getting the point? That's why people who go to jail, most of them come back from jail and become worse criminals. You know the reason? He doesn't want to go to jail. It's a terrible experience. But the thing that leads to going to jail, he can't change it. So start making excuses. That's why he thinks that the sin is in being caught. I watched a movie some time ago. A man was in prison. He asked the other guy, "What happened? Why are you here?" He said, "My lawyer messed me up." Everybody you ask is the lawyer that messed them up. That is, the issue is not, I stole money, I shot somebody, I broke into a house. No, it's my lawyer couldn't get me off the hook. I'm bringing out something, you can't change yourself. The power that the believer has is that he acknowledges his iniquity. Please, let's get this clear. The problem we have those days is that we wrongly define sin. So we say that any child of God is not a sinner. It's in the Bible, we agree. Okay? But the same person who said it, John, also said if we confess our sin and said if we say we are without sin. The problem we had was that, are you trying to say that all these children of God, they are all liars and adulterers and stuff like that? No, we didn't say that. We are just saying that they are all short of God's glory from one degree to the other. And as soon as a man discovers how short he is of God's glory, the only way to change is not to try and change. It's to do what? To confess that, God, I have now discovered that this is the level of your glory. I am still on this level. Once you do that, then God he said, purify me, that's Psalm 51, with hyssop. I explained something last time, that hyssop, all right, was what was used to apply the blood. You know, they say, okay, apply the blood on the lentils, on the doorpost, and stuff like that. What they used to do that was what? Hyssop, all right? So he said, purify me with hyssop. That is, take the blood and clean away the iniquity from my heart. God can do it anytime, as long as we just come up sincerely and say to him, I have sinned. Are you getting my point? Now we are reviewing. We just need to get this point into our hearts. Because what God wants from you and from me is not to pray and cry for blessing. Those ones are simple things. It's to get ready for whatever he wants to do in our lives by removing all that which is not of him. He said the Lord alone led him about and there was no foreign God with him. You are getting my point? Now, so what we are discussing now again is, how on earth will we know? How does God show us what's inside our heart? That's what we are saying. I've mentioned number one, which is the fact that there's a nudging, all right, because you have the seed of God. The Holy Spirit is inside there. And then people, you hear words. You come here, I'm teaching, you hear. You buy a book, or a friend of yours, they don't have to be preachers. A friend of yours just says something. I told you one of the reasons, well, there are many things that brought me down to Enugu. I didn't have a problem going anywhere. But one of the confirmations that God gave me one day was while I was considering coming to Enugu, for information, before I came to Enugu to come and pick up an appointment with University of Nigeria Enugu campus, I had only been to Enugu once in my whole life. Now, here I was coming to Enugu as a married man. I finished my specialist training. What was the attraction? And I don't know anybody from here. Come and take an appointment. It was such, unusual idea. So that day I was just going out. I saw one guy, Prebu. Ah, Pastor Banke, how now? Long time, you just gisting. After we finished gisting, I didn't tell him anything. You know, sometimes you're talking with somebody, the gist just dries. There's none. So he looked for something else to say. I know what the next thing he said. He said, Enugu. Enugu is a nice and quiet place. It's a good place to live. I never told him I was thinking about coming to Enugu. Do you follow my point? We're not that close. We were just normal greeting. It was my junior in school. I didn't tell him anything. He just started talking. Are you getting the point I'm making? That's how God does things sometimes. Is that okay? People just come, they say things to you in the same manner they can bring correction to you. Sometimes you talk to somebody and he just tells what you have said is not appropriate. And that's how God brings correction to your life. This was why I digressed. I said the worst thing you can do for yourself as a Christian is not to be correctable. To be stubborn. To find it hard to take correction. this is the way we have always done it. And one of the reasons why people don't like taking correction is just that they don't want to accept they were wrong. Now, let me say that again. I'm going to read the next line because it's important we understand this. Because if God loves you, you know, God says that he that the Father loves, what does he do? He chastises. I know chastising, people say that it means to train with the word. It's a lie. Chastising means to take a rod of correction and use it on the back. Are you getting my point? I have kids, so I have to do that periodically. All right? It's not exactly nice and pleasant. But I have discovered that these are great people. All right? These are great people. My son saw me this afternoon and came to give me a hug. And I looked in his face. And I said in my heart, I said, it's a privilege to train a man of God like you. Yes. He's a great man that God sent to my home for training. I can't allow him to misbehave. Have his way every time. Not understanding that immediate gratification does not make for greatness. Do you get my point? You must be able to delay gratification. I want it now. I say, come on, you have to learn that you can't always get it now. And when we don't give him now and he starts crying, I stop the crying with a cane. The other day, my second son was there misbehaving. Whatever was his trouble, I don't know. He was just willing and willing because they denied him something. Maybe mother was going out, he wanted to follow or something. So I came downstairs. I said, stop crying. He looked at me and continued crying. I said, all right, fine. Sheo, get me my cane. Stop crying. I gave him one stroke, cham, on his back. I said, stop crying. With the pain of the rod, he shut up instantly. As if you open that mouth again, I do it again. I said, now go upstairs, go and lie on your bed, and go and sleep. 5 minutes later, he was fast asleep. Yes, it's a scriptural way to do it. I mean, I wasn't angry. It took me time to... I was in the study. I was walking. I came down slowly, knowing what I was going to do. Because I first checked the situation around. Is he sick? Is there any reason? You know? When I checked, no. This is just being childish. People say, he's just a child. I say, yes, that's why he must grow up. That's why he must learn. That's why I must teach him. I'm not angry with him. I love him with all my heart. So part of the expressions of love is to have a well-prepared rod for appropriate times. If I, a human being, know how to do that, how much more God who is in heaven? He loves you more than I can love my son. I don't have the capacity of love that he has. Therefore, he has a bigger cane than I have. I said something before that a lot of the experiences of Christians is to purify their hearts. Listen, the earlier you stop grumbling, the faster you will grow. You had better stop grumbling and start being thankful. You wake up in the morning, rejoice in the Lord. Again, I say what? Rejoice. It's so important. No, it's very, very important. So that's what we are saying. Look, God knows how to discipline his children. He does. So when you don't take correction quickly, he can't let you go. He said, I will not leave you, he told Jacob, until I have done to you everything that I promised. No, I explained that time with the school of Bible exegesis in Genesis. I will not leave you doesn't mean I will always follow you. That is one part of it. I will not leave you means that if you misbehave, I won't overlook it. Are you getting my point? Because if you don't get to the place where I can pour blessing upon you, there's no how. All right? I will pour the blessing. You want my word not to come to pass. I've said I will bless you. Fine. So I will not leave you until I have done it. Because if we're not like that, he could pour the blessing on him instantly. So Jacob, when you wrestle too much, I break your hip. Simple. We will go through it step by step. If you won't let these children grow and develop into men, I will take them from you by force. You think they are dead. You will mourn. But I won't leave you until I have done to you everything that I promised. That's what I'm emphasizing. Children of God, they must be quick to learn. Are you getting me? I was trying to say something that, you see, one of the reasons why people don't, you know, they don't accept corrections that you are telling them what they have done in the last few years is wrong. You say, look, this is not Christian practice. And the man who has preached, he's been doing ministry for the last 10 years. Sometimes it's sad. I see pastors sometime around, I hear them talk, and I tell my wife, this is not Christian ministry. I said, this is not the word of God. No, before my wife was looking, who is this man? You think it's not only you get sense? But now she has realized there's not only me that has sense, but what I'm saying is correct. I would say, what this fellow is doing is, this is not ministry. No, I'm serious. And please, If you're a preacher, pray it. God, please teach me what real ministry is. There are people who have preached for 10 years, they have never preached the gospel of God. Listen, there's one man, I won't mention his name. Hello, he's in Lagos. He preached for 12 years for one of the major denominations in Nigeria. 12 pastors, pastor churches, birthed churches all over Nigeria and Europe. Now, you know, those days, I didn't go to the church, but some of these people probably said, this is not Christianity. This is churchianity. There's a world of difference between Christianity and churchianity. The founding father of our denomination, God spoke to him that this is the church he will come and meet when he comes back on the earth. He spoke to every founding father. What I say to one, I say to all. As he said it to the man in Baptist church, he also said it to the one in Anglican church. People say, we are the first church. I said, the first shall be the last. You can become the last church. It doesn't mean anything. Do you get what I'm saying? It's a personal walk with God that you must cultivate, not a personal walk with church. There are people who feel very secure because they are sure. They just go and put the sticker of their church on their doorstep. God, you know, you spoke to the founding father of this denomination that you will come and meet us when you come back. I look then at these things people are doing that is not ministry. He said, how do I know? It's simple. He said, heed instruction and be what? Wise. I grew up under a setting in which I had no choice. All we did in my fellowship on campus was to study the word by tapes and by books. Nobody was trying to build up into committed followers of a denomination. That is one of the problems we have in Christianity today. Most churches are training people to be dedicated to them. It's sad, but it's the truth. Hey man, I was talking to some of my colleagues yesterday. You know, we're just, you know, some of them go to Redeem and stuff like that. We're just talking. So I was talking to one guy. I said, you don't worry. Very soon we'll make you area father, not an area pastor. You know, just teasing and all of that. And I said, no, if you come to our church, you have to start again. Go through workers training. He said, wow. He said, that's how it is in every church. I said, it's true. Because each church has its own structure, very different from the next one. And you will have to indoctrinate you in what we like you to become. Now, see, I'm not saying people shouldn't train people to work with them. You should. You understand? Give people design instruction. But sometimes the attitude we have, okay, is that no, it's only us. Without us, there's no, the rest of you are joking. Some ladies were preaching somewhere once. I saw them on the road. They invited me, so they said something about they go to Christ and I said, no, I don't go to Christ. They were like, ah, is it possible? Yee, a Christian, not go to Christ. What's wrong with these children? One day a man looked at me in Lagos. He's not a believer. Well, nice guy, not a Christian, not a believer. So one day we're speaking. So was trying to describe something to me. He says, around that redemption camp. You know, somebody said, when you enter redemption camp, I say, I know where it is. He said, ah, you have never been to redemption camp. I said, no, I've never been to redemption camp. You know what he said next? He said, you know this boy, I've always wondered the kind of Christian that you are. That is, he was shocked. He said, I've always wondered that this is your Christianity. Is it really a correct one? You've never been to redemption camp. I said, what they are selling there, I don't buy. Now, if you know what I'm trying to say, the target audience is not me. And there's nothing wrong with that. No, I'm not saying that. I mean, it's not everything that means that to everybody. Nothing. I mean, there's nothing about it. I say just that it's not just, you know, I had never considered going. That was the first time I realized there was a bad Christian habit not to go. If you know what I'm going to say. It never crossed my mind like that before. I just thought that, look, we love, that's how I grew up on campus. In our room then, you enter, it was, what we fought over was books and tapes and stuff like that. I remember the first day we heard Kenneth Hagin. We gathered around the tape like God has come down in the likeness of his sunset, whatever we're using. It is not what God can do, but what he yearns to do. And we're there like this here. Ish. See, man of God, you wanted to hug the tape. It was called The Mercy of God in the Compassion of the Lord series. The Bible never said that God is power, but it said that God is love. One of my friends, one of my senior guys there, we were all together. Next time I went to preach, I heard him saying, it is not what God can do, but what he yearns to do. I said, oh my God. I mean, that was it. The guy was going up on that like this, reciting the whole tape. That was all we did, though. One book after the other. I remember the first day we watched Benny Hinn. Hi! We all gathered. Shige. We had never seen this kind of thing before. But that's the kind of thing. So, look, As we're reading Kenhagen here, listening to Kenhagen, Benihin, when Bishop Oedipo came to town, we died, Bishop. We had no allegiance to anybody. We only espoused to Jesus Christ alone. That's why you hear me preach. I quote this, quote that, quote this person, quote this person, quote. Look, nobody is my enemy. Nobody is my, I'm not comedian, friend. You know, we are all serving the same Lord. One day I saw one very famous man of God in this country. I went somewhere and the books were on sale, so I wanted to buy one. So a friend of mine who's not a fan of his, he said, "Why are you buying this man's book?" I said, "I've never read his book, that's why." I said, "There must be something he's saying that I don't know. So let me buy the book and read, get my portion. Lest we get to heaven." And he said, "God, say, Banky, what, you know, I told you guys to do like this." He said, "I didn't know, sir." He said, "You didn't know? But I told this man to preach it. Did you not preach it?" He said, "Sir, I wrote it in 15 books." "Ha, Banky, you didn't read anyone. It won't be good. I don't go to Deeper Life, but anytime I see WF community, I collect it. I listen to it." No, I'm not joking. When we're preparing for my dad's funeral then, so I took my sister to Akure to go and shop, you know, buy a lot of things. She picked one of her friends, and when they were in the market, you know, two women in the market, it's not good for the man driving, if you know what I'm trying to say. But to prevent quarrel, I collected the WF Kumi, which I found in the house. They had bought them for my dad while he was ill to be listening to. Do you understand? I just collected the thing. Sat in the car while they were going from one place to the other. I just sat there, kukukule, you know, just chop plenty. I don't go to the bad life. That's the kind, look, I was raised under such circumstances as a young believer. So when we came out and people were trying to do like, it's our church or we die. I said, me? Listen, my friend. I was not so taught as a young believer. Look, one day I came to town. One man said, that's when I first came to Enugu. I went somewhere after I started printing tracts. I went to a bookshop to give them the tracts, give out the tracts to the people and just ask them to help us give to anybody who buys. So the guy saw me and said, you're a preacher? Yes. So we started talking. Along the line, he said, which church do I go to? I said, I'm new in town. I don't really have a church yet that I go to, but that for now, I go to this particular church, but some Sundays I go here, but I've not really settled. I'm new in town. He said, it's obvious you don't know what you believe. I collected my tracts back from him. You this mental look. Give me my tracts. He said that he's not sure he should read the tracts. If I said, who gave it to you by force? No, but you can't collect. Give me the, you know. I snatched it from his hand. Told the girls there selling. I said, this guy, I don't think he's normal. Just because, you know, because he expected to say that, yes, you know, I was elevated to the rank of assistant district pastor in the region in Lagos, and I'm now in town now, so I'm now the pioneer. No, nothing like that. I left Pastor Poju in Lagos. I came to Enugu. There's no Covenant Christian Center here, and peradventure there were. There's no guarantee I'll go there. No guarantee. Did you die for me? What's wrong with you? Are you Jesus Christ? No, there's no guarantee. I'm serious. There's no guarantee. No, that's just the way. Look, but good enough, he's my type of person. Covenant Christian Center exists only in Lagos. So I left, I came to town, and I was new in town. That's just the way it is. Anywhere where I arrive, body of Christ, I appear. I show up. That's the way I am. No, you see, one of the things I tell people those days is that, ask yourself, before you think I'll be committed to you till I die, ask yourself when you got to know me. First time you saw me, I was preaching. The person who taught me as a young person, I have not committed my life to him. You that met me while I was already preaching. You think you can't, you must be joking. No, you must be joking. You must be. I don't know whether you're getting what I'm trying to say. That's why I tell you, listen, that's the way I was raised. To just love the Lord. I told you the other day, if you say a pastor derailed, it doesn't concern you. If he says a pastor, Banky has backslidden, waiting concern you. You just carry your Bible and go away. Before he started preaching, you believed. Is that not so? He said he's not going to preach again. It's his personal problem. Wish him well. May God kill him before he backslides too much. So that, it's true. So that he won't go to hell. Let's this one. No, that's my own. People say, how can a man of God fall? That's his problem. To the Lord, his God, he falls. As for me, I'm loving the Lord. I've moved on. No, I've been wondering, you start worshiping pastors. Oh. Pastors are human beings too. If you can tell lies, they can tell lies. The bad thing that some of them tell you while they are preaching, that is just the bad one I don't like. No, it's true. So, no, a whole man of God. What is a whole man of God? It is a man, and you know, it's a man. Just like it's of God. But this one is still what? Man. No, how did I get this? You know, I was trying to explain some things. What was I trying to explain? Didn't I forgot? All of you hearing Jesus, don't make me forget now. Okay, so I was saying that, very importantly, that we must be one that can be corrected. Yes, I was saying, yes, there's a story I was telling you. That so you find out that one of the reasons why people don't, one of the reasons why people don't take correction is because they feel like we've done like this for a while. We are now admitting that the last few years we have been making a mistake. And I was telling you about a man who was preaching. Actually, what happened was that I swung into the matter of denominations and warning us that look, this is not there is to life. I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos. So this particular man, after doing all of that, and I used to say, this is not ministry. Okay, I told that whole story to let you know the background that I had, which made me feel like this is not preaching, this is not ministry, this is not Christianity, this is churchianity. 12 years he did it. Let me summarize the story. After he had become a big man, you know those kind of big men that fly only first class? People carry their bags. They are, you know, they are anointed big men. You know, you get my point. Uh-huh. Then one day they sacked him. To know, look, God is very good. I was telling you that if you don't learn the instruction, JJ, you will learn it the difficult way. What happened was that the place in which he labored for 12 years, listen, this guy is a certified medical doctor, abandoned medical practice and labored in the ministry for 12 years, and they sacked him one day with nothing. You know, some things like don't move me as a person. So they sacked you, so you are pained because we are serving him. If you are serving God, it will have pained you too much. Why did I tell the story? What he did, look, people who knew him told me that the man said by himself that what he would like to do now is to go back to all the people he had preached to tell them, I'm sorry, I lied to you. The things I preached to you were not true. I'm sorry, I thought they were true. But I have found out now that is not life. One of my friends read his writing in a newspaper once. He didn't know the story. He didn't know the background. He said, wow, this guy writes fantastically. Wow, this guy's teachings, he reads regularly in the newspaper, the guy writes. He said, look, this is a balanced gospel. The guy was talking, we were friends from campus, we went through these experiences together. I said, come, let me tell you something. I gave him the background. I said, the man learned obedience from the things that he suffered. Which takes me to the next level of how God corrects people. You will enter into trouble. Number one, God tells you, no, be so. Are you getting my point? Number two, you know what he tells you next? When you don't hear, no, be so, no, be so, no, be so. Then you enter into koto. And listen, all these gospels that are devil-centered. And then Satan came. And then the devil came. And the devil spoiled my business. And the devil came. And the devil attacked my health. And the devil came. And the devil attacked my marriage. This devil is powerful. Don't you think so? A whole child of God like you. One single devil. Went after your business, it finished it. Went after your health, it wrecked it. This devil came. Went after your marriage, your wife and your children, they've left you. This devil came, and you just came here to let people know that you still believe in God and God is good. I say, you should know that it's not devil. You should know. There are things that devil can't do. He doesn't have that amount of power. This Satan worship that we call Christianity is arrant madness. Tonight, all the devils in your life, we are going to face them. You see that where I am, I will wear my shoe, begin go house. And that's rubbish. Satan, listen, I need Christians to get it clear. Satan doesn't have that amount of power. I like the way John Avanzini described it. He said in Genesis, he was called a serpent. In Revelation, he was called a dragon. Why? He said the Christians had given him so much power over the years, he grew to be a dragon from being an ordinary serpent. That was what Avanzini said. It's a kind of joke, but it's very true. There's only my dad's pastor. He says once in a while. He said that one day a man was passing one day. He saw Satan sitting down crying. He said, why are you crying? He was in front of a church. Crying. He said, Satan, what is the problem? Why are you crying? He said, these people pointed at the church. Everything that goes wrong in their life, they say it's me. Even when I don't know about it. We learned the gospel that time that God never causes trouble. He's a good God. It's like telling me a good father never flogs his children. I, the Lord, I bring good, I know less than said, and I create evil. Listen, the Bible tells us clearly that God appeared to kill Moses after he commissioned Moses. The Bible says it is a terrible thing to fall into the hand of the living God. And he was talking to Christians. Please don't repeat it to me that God doesn't cause trouble. Because he does. He said the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. It's not the respect of God. It's the fear of God. He said he was heard, talking about Jesus Christ, in that he feared. Listen, don't let nobody tell me that God doesn't cause trouble. He does. Listen to me. You see that he only allows, it's called conspiracy to commit. That is, between him and Satan, they allow. No, he allows Satan to commit. That's one gospel we like to preach. It's still the same thing. It's conspiracy. Yes. Listen to me. That God doesn't cause trouble is not true. God punishes people. Do you know that? How can you punish people by not causing trouble? He said, I just allow Satan. Listen, he directs Satan where he can go, where he can't go. When it was time to attack the life of Job, he said, Satan, you can touch his goods, you can't touch him. And his children were his goods. His servants, his workers were all his goods as far as God was concerned. So they killed all of them. No matter how much that Satan hated Job, he couldn't touch his flesh. He came back and said, have you considered my servant Job? Satan said, yes. He's not cursing you now because he's still healthy. Stretch your hand to touch him now and see. So God said, no problem, do it for me. Until God gave the go-ahead, Satan couldn't touch him. Are you getting my point? All this worship of Satan, you cannot rebuke a Satan that God has not rebuked. Hear that from me. You can't. You don't have the power. You don't. All this one of worshiping Satan the whole night. This, even people think it's prayer, they are praying. They don't know it's acknowledging the power of the devil. All the Satans in your life, listen, I've told you that the prince of this world can come. If he has nothing in you, there's nothing he can do. What you should be praying is like David, deliver me from blood guiltiness. That's what you should be praying. Purge me and I shall be clean. Wash me with hyssop. That's what you should be praying. Search me, O Lord. That's what you should be praying. Before you start attacking Satan. A lot of these Satans, if you know how useless they are. You know, sometimes we practice in Christianity. I ask people, read the scriptures and check where these things were recorded for our learning. The people who taught us the fundamentals of Christianity, Paul, Peter, James, John, what did they say? When they want to talk about devil, they always add it to God. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Resist the devil. That is, humbling yourself under the mighty hand of God is resistant to the devil. Steadfastness of faith is resistance to devil. It's not you wake up in the morning, Satan, I bind you, I bind you, I bind you. You bind him from now to tomorrow, the guy is not bound. You should know that something is wrong there. I told the story that Ken Hagin told in his book. From having deliverance meetings to having getting free meetings to having loosening meetings to having all kinds of meetings. Anointing for breakthrough meetings, anointing for release meetings, anointing for sudden thrust of abundance meeting. After everything, he asked and said, this is not right. Something is not right here. We like playing church. No, by playing church. People just like to pray against people who are not pursuing them. That's why you hear all the lies. They tell us Nigerians pray a lot, but we don't see any change. Because we are not praying, we are playing. There's a world of difference. The people who lift up hands, their hands are not holy. And they don't lift it up for cleansing. They use dirty hands to face that direction. Oh, the witch is coming from there. The witch go, they laugh. Say, thanks for showing me your bloody hand. I'm serious. Listen, let's get back to the thing I'm saying. When God corrects people simply and they don't hear, he causes them trouble. I said she opened to the book of Job, right? Yeah, Job 33. Eli was analyzing how God does things here from verse 13. He said, why do you complain against him that he does not give an account of all his doings? He said, indeed God speaks once or twice, yet no one notices it. How does he speak? In a dream, a vision of the night, when sound sleep falls upon men. That's one level he uses. Then verse 16 says, then he opens the ears of men and seals their instruction, that he may turn man aside from his conduct and keep man from pride. He keeps back his soul from the pit and his life from passing over into Sheol or the grave. Now, when that doesn't work, that is, God instructs him through many methods. Okay? so that he might keep his life from passing over into death. Now, when that doesn't work, verse 19, he said, man is also chastened with pain on his bed and with unceasing complaint in his bones. He says, so that his life loves bread and his soul favorite food. Let me just stop there. Now, he was now describing, if you read verse 23, talking about the fact that if somebody finds an angel, somebody to bring him correction, a messenger, all right, then the person now begins to head in the direction of recovery. Then he will say that I have sinned and have done that which was not right. That is, it's so important that the man acknowledges his sin, all right, before God gives him deliverance. Now, the other scripture I want, there's a scripture I want us to read. Psalm 119. Trying to prove that God indeed causes trouble. You can call it allow, can call it cause. Just know that if he allows, you can rebuke that Satan. Verse 65, Psalm 119. He said, thou hast dealt well with thy servant, O Lord, according to thy word. Teach me good discernment and knowledge, for I believe in thy commandments. Now, notice verse 67. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now, I keep thy word, or I obey thy word. He said, thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes. Let me just stop there. He said, thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes. Before that, he said, teach me good discernment and judgment. For I believe in thy commandments. How did I get to that position? He said, before I was afflicted, I went astray. He said, but now, that is, how did I come back to the position, all right, of not straying? How did I come back from the position to the position of obeying thy commandments, of believing in them? How did I come back to the position of understanding that you are good and that you do good? Simple. I said, I was afflicted. And then that returned me to the path of righteousness. Let me tell you something about Christians. You've heard that, you've heard this several times. They said, the day the man started stealing, they caught him. Unbelievers are doing it too. Nobody says anything. Are you getting me? The first day the Christian joined them, they caught all of them. It is called the disciplining of the Lord. That's all. Listen, let me tell you something about Christianity. The summary of it is that God is good. Did I hear an amen? God is very good. And the fact is that no matter what you are going through in life, God is still good. No matter what. God said, all of these things I'm doing, go and read Deuteronomy chapter 8. He says, so that I might do you good at the end. He said, I made you hungry first. Then I fed you with manna, that you may understand that man does not live by bread alone. That is, if you don't understand that, when I give you abundance of bread, you will think that your life is because of the bread I have given you. I don't know whether you get the point. Listen, let me say something to you practically about life. This is how it is with people that God has blessed. One day in life, there will be next to nothing that you need that you can't just call somebody and get. I don't know whether you get my point. Listen, let me give you an example. The other day, we went for a meeting and we arranged something in church, and basically it's about fundraising and stuff like that. And I told the person beside me, I said, now, wow. As all this activity, just to raise how much money? As if you had this kind of person as a friend, you know, just call him. Okay, I actually mentioned Dangote as an example. I said, Dangote was your friend. Just say, well, please, we are doing this project. Give us 5 million, I'm waiting. And you know, he will write off 5 million naira, and that's it. It's not an issue. Are you getting the point? You know, if a rich man, maybe a rich man's son or daughter is getting married, a big man, they can get 3 cars at wedding present. You know, it's not an issue. Can have a whole house. Okay. Oh, my father's very good friend. Give us a present. What is it? It's a 4-bedroom bungalow in Maitama district. Yes. That is an average worker who will go to bank, Oshonic Bank, please lend me money. They are selling it. I will pay you over 25 years. They give to somebody, all right, as a wedding gift. When God blesses you in life, no, see, it's so important you understand this. God will take you to a level where you virtually don't have to bend down your head to pray about some things. You just come and say, and somebody will just come up to you. Good afternoon, sir. He said, how are you? How are you doing? How's school? He said, I've graduated. Where are you working now? Sir, you are not working yet? Wait, just keep pick the phone. What did you study again? You studied it. Where would you like to work? What kind of company? You tell him, it's okay, fine. Just check. I'll pick the phone. Hey, John, how now? Alpha, in a guest space, young, maybe I get one young, one of my boys, the guy need work. No. Okay, I send them to you on Monday, all right? Uh-huh. Make sure you give him work. I don't want to do rubbish on here. You know you are employed, sharp. That is, there's no discussion. Look, there are people, no, that's just life. It's not, I call it the cult of poverty. People will not sit there and say, it's not fair. What do you mean by it's not fair? What do you mean by it's not fair? You went to school, is it fair? Were people not born in the heat, in the heart of the jungle of Bangladesh and they didn't go to school? You went to school, what is fair about it? Are you better than them? Life, also, Chimba said, life is not fair. So stop pretending it's not fair. You save up money for 2 years to buy one Tokumbo card that one Oyinbo man got tired of. So to a Nigerian who got tired of it after 2 years, and you bought it. And one man wants, one is chasing one girl. He gives her a brand new Honda just to show that he's serious. Is it fair? Don't just worry yourself. I mean, hey. No, I told my wife, I said, I'm glad and satisfied. I thank God for what he has done in my life. That's all I care. No, I'm serious. You know, it's good to have a right perspective. You know, the time I traveled and I was away for about 6 weeks, I was in the U.S., you know, when I came back home, I did it as God is my witness. I didn't miss the country for 1 minute. I was counting days so I can go back and see my wife. Some people say, go to anybody and say, are you sure I'm going to come back? God punish you. Why? Am I sure I'm going to come back? Are you stupid? When people are waiting for me on Saturday to preach, every time my son will call on the phone, daddy, come back today, I almost cry. He said, am I going to come back? You are going to remove my shoe, knock you for head, for even suggesting that I'm not going to come back. What I'm going to say is that inside me, satisfaction, the satisfaction of full ground. Never take light. Uh-huh. We'll pull the small tiger first. And peradventure, listen, you know, I used to ask my wife, that this one that we have generator, and there's always light in my house. Because I have different sizes. I said, you remember when we were living in Transekulu? Say, we didn't have a gen. And our area was bad. Our transformer, where the wires cut almost every other day. I said, baby, how did we survive? Do you know, I'm trying to remember. Then she reminded me that we used to sleep on the balcony. I had mats. The mats were permanently laid. Then one day, my brother would come to the house. I warned him, if you go near that balcony, so he will be suffering his own heat in one corner. You know, it's so funny. I had to ask my wife one day, how did we survive that period? I'm trying to get the point. Because now when they take light, I'm like, whoa. I asked my cousin, is there fuel in that gen? And if there's no fuel that night, I'm going out to go and look for fuel. I said, but I was in Transekulu. I did not have a generator. I didn't have. In this Enugu, don't think when you were young. No, in this Enugu here. I'm bringing out something. You will get to a point in life. Whether NEPA works, it doesn't work. Some people don't notice. Because some people have been mandated to kick the gen, which is absolutely silenced, once light goes off. In the same manner, you will get to a position in life where you don't have to think. Are you getting what I'm saying? You don't have to pray that, oh God, this is my children as they are living. My children as they are living. You just go, oh boy, this is my boy wants to do. He wants to become a professor. He likes science. Maybe your university. I want people to employ him as a graduate assistant. Let him move up, you know, and they all instantly. And that's just life is. That's how life is. This one that you are praying to God and believing God for money for wedding. Did you hear Abraham do that? Isaac didn't do that. He just called Eliezer, carry all the gold necessary. When Rebecca's people saw gold, they gave her away fast. Go. You know how he greeted Rebecca? Studded her hands with bangles of pure gold. My master said I should come and marry your daughter for his son. They said, is he okay? He said, if the girl just agree. The girl said, with this gold on my wrist, I agree. And it was the blessing of God on Abraham. I'm bringing out something. God said, I need to let you understand before that point. Are you getting what I'm saying? I need to let, first I make you hungry now. I feed you with manna. So that when you get there, you will remember that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God does man live. When he said that, people thought he was saying that you eat bread and you eat word. No, he said there is nothing your connection will do for you that I can't do double that. I need you to understand it, otherwise I take away the connection. Listen, M.K. Abiola, I don't know the reasons why he died, but I know one important reason he died. There are many reasons. But one important reason was that he opened his mouth publicly and explained that he had too much money for any spiritual force to deplete. I quoted it from one of my colleagues. He said, it's not quote, I heard it. He said, I heard the program live. When I heard that, I said, this man has made a mistake. Next time, he should have just said, we thank God. What happened to him was that he thought that man doth live by bread alone. Listen, what God will do to you if you forget is that he will take your son that you felt you can connect everywhere. He will put him in jail. And nothing you do will get him out. That is, when M.K. Abiola died, his wife, that's an example. He made a statement. It's an expression in Yoruba land, alright? Literally it means shame on money. His wife had cancer and died. He said what? Shame on money. That is, we have found out that no matter how wealthy we have become, there are things we can't do. Are you getting the point I'm making? So what God does to his children is that before I get you to that level where you don't have to pray, before you do, that is, you can afford to invest recklessly. If you lose the money, you don't feel it. They say, sir, there's a property you want to develop. It's only 200 million naira. You sign in the check and you walk away. You don't even remember. If it is now, they say, please come and invest 25,000. Say, I'm coming tomorrow. See me tomorrow now. Ashkabala tugoba. Igedo suba. Father God, is that of you or of Satan? Is he a door, a trap? In the name of Jesus, speak. Poverty. By the time we come, you will sign a check. Look, listen. When these Google boys were going to start Google, they went to the guy who started Yahoo. They told him the story. The guy said, I'm in a hurry. He wrote them a check for $100,000 and walked away. Like, he said, look, I think you guys, what you're saying, it makes sense. So he just wrote them a check. This $100,000, go ahead. And he left them. If the thing collapsed, he wouldn't have noticed. But now that it's worth billions and billions and billions of dollars, the Yahoo man owns a major chunk of Google. God said, I will bless my people to that level. He said, but I must first help them understand that it is not their connection that's doing it for them. It is the manifestation of my grace in their lives. But this is the problem. People forget. That's why he said, thou shalt remember. It is the Lord thy God that giveth thee power to get wealth. Are you getting my point? David said, before I was afflicted, I went astray. Let me tell you something. As a matter of fact, I'm not preaching good preaching. Being honest with you. Every experience you have in your days of little beginnings, God is using it to prepare you for the days of greatness. Right now, you have nothing to be proud about and you are proud. You're on top of Okada. You are proud. You buy one old Tokumbo. Old. You know, you see, old. The white man drove it until his soul had satisfaction. And he sold it for cheap because he didn't have where to park it again. There are cars that Nigerians buy which are only fit for junkyards in America. And they come to church and say, praise the Lord. One of my wife's uncles told a story once. He lives in America. He lives in New York. He said he had a car. He wanted to sell it. And nobody agreed to buy it. Then finally, he wanted to dash somebody. Nobody agreed to take it. Then he drove it to a junkyard. They demanded that he paid money before they collected it. You don't get the point. A car that he drove there. They said, bring money first before we accept the car. If he had shipped the same car to Nigeria, you know he will sell it. That is what you are driving. And you are proud. You see what I'm saying? God says, see, I will punish you first so as to remove this kind of, because one day will come when you will fly a jet. If pride is your problem on this your old Tokumbo, what will be the issue now when I give you a jet? You buy a brand new suit made in China and you raise shoulder like this, your leg not touch ground again. What about the day that you can call a man tailor to your sitting room to take your measurement? What will happen? He said, guys, I get to deal with you now. So the day you buy the suit, I tear it. Don't be angry. As you put the car outside, praise God, one stupid trailer driver, we run into it, Gosa. Child of God, you know what you do? You put up your two hands and say, the Lord give it, the Lord take it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That saved you. I'm telling you, before I was afflicted, he said, I went astray. Listen, you're earning 500 naira. Of all the, you know, it's very common with young women. Small money you give them. By the time they finish weave on Q-Tex, Mary Kay powder, and shoe that nobody's noticing that they are wearing, money don't finish. You can't do anything good for anybody again. You can't give to anybody. You have no money for any other thing but to use to look good. No wahala. One day you go travel. It's only that one that contains your goods that they will take. You know what God is trying to teach you? A man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things that he possesses. You will save up money for 3 years to buy a car. 2 months later, it catches fire. Don't grumble. Next time you go out somewhere, say, praise God, there's a project we want to do this for the work of God. You will quickly give them your whole salary. Because after you saved it for 3 years, last time, what happened? Fire. He said, look, listen, some of those scriptures, this is how they enter your head. That's how they enter. When you have invested and you have lost. I said, are we okay now? Say, yes, I get the point. Before I was afflicted, you know, it was lack of affliction. That's why I went astray. Now I obey your word. Now I know something about my kids. Because as they grow, like this guy that's there now, the older he grows, the more responsible he becomes. And the less you need to flog him. But periodically, he thinks man lives by bread alone. You get my point? He forgets and he strays. So periodically, we remind him who's the boss. That the boss is to be obeyed without questions. And I will explain to him, oh boy, you deliberately disobeyed. He will look. I told you not to do this and you did it. I asked you this and you first said it was this guy that didn't know it was you. Oh yeah? Lie down there. No matter the I'm sorry. I'm not even angry. I have forgiven. But so that you won't do it again, I will take the cane. You lie, you know, he's not the small ones who can, he can prostrate properly. I will whack you on the bum bum. Pua, pua, pua. After that, say, come. Next time that the dog talks, what do you do? Say, I obey. Children of God, do they tell lies? No. Are you a Satan's son? No. At that time, he rejects the devil instantly. Yes. I'm serious. That's what he meant here when he said, before I was afflicted, I went what? Astray. Stray. You just forget. You forget yourself. You don't know what you are doing again. One of the things I do every time, people stop. This happens every day. People stop me. Pastor Banky, I was listening to you on Thursday. Thank you, sir. Those words were so powerful. You have changed. I met one man the other day. In fact, they had about one young man that used to record our message in Asaba. I met him last week. He will start telling you all the things that the words that you spoke had done to his life again. And I never forget. I said, Father, I give you thanks. Banky plants, everybody waters. It's God that gives the increase. People say, oh God, those words, sir, you have blessed me. I say, no, God be praised. I thank God. And when I say it, I'm not telling them. I'm telling myself. And I'm telling the Lord, God, to you be the glory. I say, very fine. If you do like that, I will raise it to bigger levels. Are you getting the point I'm making? Please, what I'm saying, is it making sense here? Listen, what I've tried to say so far in the last bit is that, see, there is nothing that you are going through now that's taking God by surprise. Nothing. 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 In every situation you are in, say, Baba God, how far? What am I supposed to learn from here? Then you first give God thanks before you remember the devil. Then when God says, rebuke the devil, now say, devil, yeah, get away. Once that devil responds, you know, God rebuked him first. And God rebuked him when he saw that your heart had been, you know, retuned, correctly tuned. Remember what I was saying? That these are the ways by which God brings correction to us. That's what I'm trying to explain. Yes, God causes people trouble. And remember what I said last time? Stop blaming other people. You ask yourself, why am I subject to his power? That's a story that happened to me once in Enugu here. I've told the story a number of times. It was very interesting. Let me repeat it again. This junction down here, there's one traffic ward in there. The man has a big belly like this. Many years ago, the man, for the first time in my life actually, since that time, I was arrested by a traffic ward. Now, I think he was lying or whatever it is. But you know what happened actually? That on the physical realm, we're quarreling and arguing. But because of the way God had taught me, what I was doing was I was praying, what is going on here? And I instantly took correction. You know what happened? At the end of New Haven, the other end, my mechanic was there. I went to his workshop to fix something in my car. And there was an elderly man sitting down waiting for his car to be fixed. And the guy said, Banky, please, can you help me drop this man at home? I said, I'm going somewhere. He said, okay, when you finish now, can you come back? I said, I will. So I went to where I was going. Then, when I finished what I was doing, I said, will that man still be there waiting for me? I beg, just let me go my way. So I started going my way. I was living in Transekulu. That's why I got to that traffic, that junction. And that traffic warden stopped me and jumped to my car for passing when I was not passed, for moving when I was not told to move, whatever the offense. Now, after we quarreled for a few minutes, you know what's coming to my mind? Instantly, before I was afflicted, I went astray. All I was remembering was that I promised somebody I would come back. And I didn't. And this man is the angel of God he has sent to redirect me in the path of righteousness for his own namesake. So after the man and I, of course, his man said, okay, let us settle that. I'm not settling anything. So he came down from my car very angrily. And then we shall, you know what I did? You think I blamed the man? I didn't. Too. I turned my car. I used the other express. You know, I just hit the express and went to the other end of New Haven. Entered the man's shop. Behold, the elderly man was sitting down there, jejely, waiting for the young man who said he would come back. Ha! I said, Father, thank you for that traffic warning. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name, for that traffic warning. So I told the man, enter. I said, please, where's your house, sir? He said, Emene. I turned. To Emene we go. Well, God, they said, you can stop here. I said, no, sir. Where is your? I want to drop you at your gate. I kept on driving until finally the man said, okay, it's okay now. I said, are you sure you're all right, sir? He said, yes. You're sure this? I don't have to drive you further. The man said, no, that my house is just down here. Just stop at this junction. You don't have to walk, drive down the bad road. I said, okay, sir. I turned around. Before I was afflicted, I was going astray to my house. That's what I mean by affliction. Are you getting my point? There are people that you are not supposed to do business with. Do with. We have told you, you won't hear. No problem. Do with them first. Then your 6 months savings will vanish in 6 hours. Next time they say, do not be equally yoked with an unbeliever. You will agree sharp. Because last time, you know how long it took. In fact, it is worse when you borrow the money from the bank. You are still repaying the bank till today. And let me tell you something about God. God is wonderful. All the years that the locust ate and the canker worm and the palmer worm, my great army that I sent in the midst of you, God can restore to you double in 1 year. Once he can get you to just acknowledge that I was wrong, I was afflicted, not because the man is wicked, but because I went astray. The problem with us as people is that we blame the people that God used to afflict us, saying it is the devil. It is the devil. Are you getting my point? We don't look inwards and say, search me, O Lord, and check whether there is any hurtful thing within me. We blame everybody. The pastor was telling you about, probably you go around blaming. These great men of God are wicked. After serving him for 12 years, they sacked me one day without a card. Nothing. They left him back in square one. God will say, look, don't worry. It's not the man that sacked you. I now have shown you that for 12 years, you were serving yourself. 12 years, you were on your own mission. And if you just say, Lord, I am sorry. I was afflicted because I went astray. Now I am ready to obey. Listen, the breakthrough will give you in 2 years. Those who have walked for 20 years won't have it. Listen, with the child of God, I've told you. He said, in repentance and in rest will you be saved. Did you hear that? In repentance, not in struggle, but in what? In repentance and in rest, you will be saved. Have you learned anything today? Yes, I said, have you learned anything today? Yes, in that case, let's begin to give the Lord thanks.